Okay, so I'd like to turn the call over to Laura Goldstein, who is going to facilitate tonight on the rhythmic patterns in Mohs. And she is a harp teacher and therapeutic musician in Phoenix, and she just graduated today from the program, so that's great too. So I guess I'll stop talking and turn it over to you, Laura.
Wonderful. Well, hello everyone. I'm so excited to be presenting this tonight. And I want to start off by saying that I don't have a very extensive background in improvisation. Even though I started piano when I was 4 and started harp in college and did a master's degree in music, learning how to improvise was never a part of my formal training. And it's only been in the last couple of years as part of this course that I really started delving into it. So I want to begin by saying that if improvisation terrifies you like it did me, then I have complete faith and trust that you can learn it. And that it is a learnable skill, that it's not a gift that we're born with, but it's something that you can learn and develop. So I'm going to be starting this call basing it around Ray Poole's video on Dorian improvisation. If you have seen it, then you'll be a step ahead of everything. But if you haven't seen it, then that's okay. We're going to cover all the material in this call. But I would recommend going back and watching it because it's a really great video. And what I love about it is that I think it's a great way to get started improvising rhythmically. Because what he does in this video is he focuses in on one chord, and he shows you how you can improvise just on one chord, and if you can learn that, then all the skills that you learn improvising on one chord are going to transfer to any other chords that you want to play and how you're going to improvise between chords. So he starts off in Dorian, the Dorian mode on B, and he starts off by focusing in on the chord tones of that chord. So in Dorian, if your harp or your instrument is tuned to C, the Dorian would be D, F, A, and D again. So the 1, 3, 5, and 8. And those chord tones, the D, F, A, and D, are going to be our target tones. We're going to be aiming all our improvisations towards those tones. So what we're going to start off with, and you can feel free to play along with me because you're on mute and no one can hear you. I'm going to be doing some playing, and there will be times where if you feel like it, go ahead and play along with me. And so the way he starts off, and if you have the two sheets that were sent out, the documents that go along with this call, you can look at the sheet that says Pulse Tempo Improvisation Resource Dorian Improvisation. And you'll see on that first line, if we just look at the bass part, you're going to take the bass D open chord of just D and A, and let's just play those chords, the D and A, the open chord. We're going to play whole notes, and we're going to do it 4 times. So I'll count us in 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And now what we're going to do is we're going to add in our target notes on the second beat of each measure. So on the first beat of each measure of 4-4, we're going to play that open chord. And if you're on a melody note or a melody instrument, you can choose whether you want to play the D or the A. Either one is fine. And so then we're going to play our target notes in sequence on the second beat of each measure. So I'll play this through twice. I'll play it once through and play it for you, and then if you want to join me the second time, feel free. 3, 4. Again, 1, 3, 4, target growth. That's what we're going to be aiming for in all of our improvisations as we go on. And now if you look at this sheet, you'll see that there are basically two concepts that you need to know to improvise on this chord. One of those is neighbor notes, and the other one is passing tones. So we're going to focus in first on neighbor notes. And as you see on this first line, neighbor notes are kind of like how they sound. They're the notes that are neighboring our chord tones, or the notes that are right next to that chord tone. And as you see, we have upper neighbor notes and lower neighbor notes. So if you want to follow along looking at the first line, I'm going to play the upper neighbor notes. So if I have D, my upper note, neighbor note would be E, and then I come back to the D. Same thing with F, I'll have an F and a G, and then A, and our neighbor note would be B, and then back to our D. And so let's try playing that together. Again, we'll play a chord on the first beat of the measure, and then we'll be playing the upper neighbor notes in the rest of the measure. You can either play it by ear as you follow along, or if you have a document, you can read the first line on this page. 3, 4. Those are our upper neighbor notes, but we also have the lower neighbor notes, the notes that are below our target tones. So that's the second line. So again, if we have a D, our lower neighbor note is C. For F, we're going to go to E. A will go to G. And then back to our D and C. So I'll play through the second line if you want to play along with me. Second line of the page, the lower neighbor notes. 3, 4. Now, just with those upper neighbor notes and lower neighbor notes, you can start to do some really beautiful and simple things just with those two ideas. Because you don't have to play them in sequential order like they are here. You can jumble them around. You could play the upper neighbor note and then a lower neighbor note. You could play them based around the A, then around the D. You can switch it up. You don't have to play them in order. So for instance, I'm going to play a little bit of an improvisation based on just those two concepts of the upper neighbor notes and lower neighbor notes. And you don't have the bass, you have an extra thing that you can do if you like, and that is you can repeat that target note, and you can repeat that note at the beginning of the measure or at the end of the measure. So if you were to repeat it at the beginning, it might sound like this. Okay, we'll come back together now. And we'll take you off mute and see if there are any questions, anything that you've been playing with during these last couple. Well, we'll just keep going, and then at the next time we'll see if there are any questions. We're going to continue on talking about passing tones. So again, passing tones are very much like they sound. They're the notes that are between the chord tones that you play as you're passing from one chord tone to the next. So for instance, if you look at the third line of this page, the passing tone between D and F is E. So we have, and then between F and A, we have the passing tone of G. But then when we get to A, and we're moving from A up to D, we have a very interesting situation because no longer do we have one passing tone, we have two. So in this case, what we're going to do is just play the passing tones and leave them unresolved. So we'll play A, B, C, and then resolve it on the next measure to the D. So let's go ahead and play this third line together of ascending passing tones. 3, 4. And then, as the same kind of idea, the descending passing tones, again, what you, the notes that you pass through as you descend from one target note down to the next target note. And now we're going to start at the top. We're going to have those first two, the passing tones from between the D and the A. We're going to leave it unresolved on the B in the first measure, and then come to the A. So we'll try this fourth line together now. 3, 4. So now I'm going to give you another couple minutes of break, because now you can take all four of these different ideas, the upper and lower neighbor notes, as well as the ascending and descending passing tones. And again, mix and match. You can do one and then the other. Again, if you're on a melody instrument, you can repeat one of the target notes. So I'm going to play a little bit of an improvisation that uses just these four concepts, with quarter notes. Thank you. Okay, so it's been a couple minutes. Come back to the call now and we'll keep going. So far, we've been using just whole notes in the bass and quarter notes in the melody. And that's basically what was covered in Ray Poole's video. And we're going to start moving beyond that and adding in other rhythms. So if you have the two documents before you, go ahead and turn to the second page, the page that says Folk Tempo Improvisation, 4-4 Time Patterns. So what I've done here, what you see on this page, are different ideas for rhythms that you can use either in the harmony or in the melody, whether you're in 4-4 time or 3-4 time. So we're going to continue in 4-4 time for a little bit. And this first line are different patterns for the harmony. And so what you see here, the first measure has a whole note, and that's basically what we've been doing so far. We've been playing whole notes in the bass. Now, there are some other ideas. For instance, the second measure, we're going to take that apart and we're going to play a quarter note and then a dotted half note, and you could do this on the D and the A as well, so it would sound like this. Or in the third measure, with an eighth note and then the dotted half note, you could add the eighth above, so you would have D-A-D. So those are a couple of different patterns that I use a lot. I found that when I started thinking about how I improvise the last month, I found that those are the ones I tend to use the most when I'm playing at the bedside, because they leave a lot of freedom for your right hand or for your melody to be playing. They don't fill up the space. So those are ones that I use a lot. So I'm going to do a little bit of an improvisation. The same what we were doing before is as far as the melody. I'm only going to be playing quarter notes in the melody. And now I'm either going to play the second measure or the third measure of each rhythm. So I'll either be playing the quarter note and then about a half note for that rhythm. And you can see how this just gives a slight variation to the improvisation. Is if you're still starting out with improvisation, I would skip the first three rhythms on this page because they're nice and simple. They give you time if you're playing the harp to replace your hand. Once you start moving and playing other chords, you'll have time to replace or change chords. And they just give you, you don't need a lot of notes in the bass. The melody can really sustain everything. Now, if you play a melody-only instrument, you could use these harmony patterns as a way to sort of open up your improvisation. You could start with the harmony, maybe in one octave range, and then move to a melody pattern as sort of a call and answer or a question and answer sort of sound, something like this. Something of that sort, where you play one thing and then you move on into another range. So now I'm going to go on and start really focusing in on melody and ways to really play around with the melody rhythmically. And so we're going to focus mainly on melody from this point on. So if you feel like playing harmony, if you're on a harp or piano, feel free to add in some of these harmony patterns. But from now out for a while, I'm going to mainly focus just on the melody so that you can really hear what's going on in the melody. So, for instance, if we look down to the third line, these are different melody patterns in 4-4 time. So far, we've mainly just been using the first measure of quarter notes. But an easy way to get started is now to add in half notes. Either two half notes, as in the second measure, or a half note and two quarter notes, as in the third measure. So I'm going to just use just those rhythms, quarter notes and half notes, and do a little improvisation in 4/4 time. Playing around with melody patterns, these quarter notes, half notes, in 4/4 time, and we'll give you about a minute and a half to play around with this idea. Okay, it's been a minute and a half. Let's come back together, and let's go ahead and try going off mute again and see if any questions have come.
This is Patty in Minneapolis. And I don't really have a question, but when I was playing around, it occurred to me that it would be interesting to work with a pentatonic scale, and I actually had a little more success working with that than with the entire major scale or the Dorian scale.
Well, that's great. That's a really great way to get started, because then you're kind of not having to worry so much about target tones. You're focusing more in on your rhythms in that way. So that's a great thing. That's a great way to try out improvisation. Thanks. Anything else? Okay, we'll get back on and put you all on mute, and then there'll be some time later in the call when we can ask more questions. So we've been looking at 4/4 melody patterns, basically a quarter note, half note. And you see at the end of this line, I've given you a couple other options, adding in eighth notes. And there are thousands, there are all different ways that you could make up melody patterns. And that's why I've given you some blank lines, so that on your own, as you're improvising, if you find that there's a pattern that you really enjoy and it sounds really pretty, you can write that pattern in on those blank measures and play around with those improvisations. So just to show you what it would sound like if we do the fourth or fifth measure of this melody pattern line in 4/4, I'll just play a little bit of that for you now. Just by adding in eighth notes on the second beat, of the mixer. That really changes the feel, and you can start moving around. You see that I started repeating some of the notes or mixing up both the neighbor notes and the passing tones, and creating really pretty little improvisations on a very simple pattern. So I want to move on now to 3-4 time patterns. Because over the past month, as I've been thinking about this call and really watching how I improvise when I'm at the bedside, I found that for the most part, I tend to end up playing in a 3-beat pattern, either 3-4 or 6-8. And I started wondering why, and why it felt so appropriate to do that. And one thing that I came up with and for myself is that I've noticed that a lot of the playing I've been doing has been in hospice. And because a 3-4 pattern has that lift on the third beat of the measure, if you think of someone dancing a waltz, there's that 1-2-3, 1-2-3, there's that lift. It's not really tied down to the heavy or the accented beat of the measure like 4-4 time is. There's that weightlessness or space in there that you don't have as much in 4-4. So a 4-4 time and improvising in 4-4 gives you a really solid, a very grounded sound, so it might be really useful if you're playing at the bedside of someone coming out of a post-op or someone that really needs to be stabilized, because it has that ground in 1-2-3-4. You're always tied into the main beat. Right, 3-4, because of that openness, it has a very different feel, and I also found that it was easier to transition into non-rhythmic playing from 3-4 into 4-4, maybe because of that empty space. So that's something I've been thinking about, and I'd love to hear your all thoughts about it later at the end of the call if anyone has noticed themselves what they tend to do when they're improvising. I'd love to hear. But for right now, we're going to get back on with playing. So if you look down the sheet, halfway down the sheet, there's 3-4 time patterns. And again, first I've given you some harmony patterns. I'm not going to focus on this too much because I want to get on to melody, but just to kind of run through this line, it's very simple and it's very similar to what we were doing in 4-4. The first measure that I've given you here, the dotted half note, is filling up that whole measure with just one tone. So if we're in 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. That's that pattern. The second measure, again like the second measure above, is adding in a quarter note and then a half note. And again, you can do this by playing the 1 and 5 of whatever chord you're on, in our case the D and the A. And then the third measure, again adding in eighth notes, which you could use 1-5-8 as a possibility. Now, I've given you a couple other ideas at the end of the measure, either filling up the measure with quarter notes, or using some eighth notes in there, which you could do. One pattern that you could use would be, but again, I found that I rarely use those last two. I tend to focus in and play basically with the first three patterns, because again, it leaves me that openness, it keeps it simple, gives me time to think about what I'm doing in my melody, to move my hand if I need to. Excuse me. So I really focus in on those first three. So now let's go ahead and look at the melody patterns. The first measure we have here with quarter notes, again, very similar to what we were doing before. I'm going to play a little bit of an improvisation using just these three quarter notes per measure, like we were doing before in 4-4-9, but now in 3-4. Thank you. go ahead and we add in maybe the second or the third measure, if we add in a dotted half note or a quarter note and a half note, you can do some really fun things with just those three first measures, just measure 29, 30, and 31 on this horn. Again, I'll play a little bit for you. Now and try using 3/4 melody patterns, just quarter notes, half notes, and dotted half notes. These first three patterns, and I'll give you a couple minutes to try these out.
Laura, when you come back, you might try moving your phone just a little bit away from your instrument.
Okay. Okay, we've spent a couple minutes. We'll come back together. I want to add one more little thing and give you some time to play before we come back together and ask for any questions. So we were just doing the quarter notes and half notes in 3/4 time. If you look at the fourth beat of the measure, or fourth measure of this line and the fifth and sixth, I started adding in eighth notes to the pattern. So instead of just quarter notes and half notes, now we're adding in eighth notes. So for instance, this the fourth measure with 2/8 notes and then a half note. You can do something like that. And the fifth measure is one of my favorites. Dotted quarter, eighth, and then a quarter. You can create beautiful improvisations just with this one simple rhythm. And I'll play a little bit for you just using the fifth measure in this rhythm pattern. Look at the sixth measure of this line. Just straight eighth notes. And again, this is something that you can add in now and then. I'll use some of these patterns from the last half of the line, just the last three measures, to create an improvisation. Thank you. We're going to take another little break now. Feel free to use any of these rhythms on this line with eighth notes and quarter notes and half notes, or come up with new ones of your own. If you come up with a one you really like, feel free to write it down on that last line. And we'll take a couple minutes to play around with these melody patterns. Also, feel free, if you need a challenge, to add in some harmony. And then we'll come back together and see what questions you might have. We'll take a couple minutes. Okay, so it's been a couple minutes. We'll come back together. We'll take you off mute. And if you have any questions or anything. Okay, any questions?
I have a quick question. Can we talk just a second about tempo? What tempo would you recommend for this Dorian mood?
Well, you know, Dorian, in general, our tempo that we're aiming for at the bedside is between 60 and 80. So you could play this at any range of that tempo range. So a nice slow. You know, that might be closer to the 60, whereas. Something like that might be closer to your higher range of 80. So you can really, you have a wide range of tempo that you can.
I just felt like my tempo here in my room was a little bit too fast, and you know, in my mind I'm thinking, well, perhaps I'm playing it too slowly, but it sounds like what you're saying is 60 to 80 within that range is fine.
Yeah. And often, like when you, I don't know if you've done any of your internship yet, but when you actually get into the bedside and you're right there with the patient. It, sometimes I never had a problem playing slow at that point. I always, when I'm at home, I play too fast, but as soon as I got at the bedside, it, just the energy in the room will kind of slow you down and help you to know what the appropriate tempo is. At least that was what I found.
Okay, and also I'd just like to mention that I feel the same way you do. I really enjoy playing in 3-4 rather than 4-4. I don't know why, but I do enjoy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. Anyone else have that experience or find that they tend to play one more than the other?
if I improvise or I write music, it always seems to be a 3-4. So I understand.
Yeah. It just has such a nice lilting quality to it. It's such an expressive time signature. Any other questions? I don't know how you all are feeling. I know I made my husband be at a guinea pig yesterday, and he's a guitarist, so I made him go through all this last night, and about this point, his eyes were starting to glaze over. He felt like he'd had enough, so I don't know if you're feeling that way, or if you'd like me to go on and add one more new thing, or if you feel like you've had enough, or if there's any other questions about ways to use these, or...
You can add anything.
Yeah, you're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. All right. Well,
I'll put you back on mute then.
Great. So what we've been doing so far has been staying in one chord, just the Dorian chord. And now I wanted to start talking about how to move between chords. And an easy way to start that. I know in a lot of the other calls you've been given a lot of different chord progressions that sound really pretty. I want to give you just a couple that are pretty simple, but these are great ways to get started when you're having to move from one chord back. So for instance, we've been using Dorian in C, or D, F, and A. Now, if you think of the chord as C, that is just below it, or C, E, and G. Now, those two chords cover most of the octave, and there's only one little note that's left out of our octave, which is C. Only one note is left out because the D, F, and A, C, E, and G cover six of the tones of the octave. So a really great way to start working on improvising in time, in a rhythmic fashion, but starting to move between chords, is to play total Dorian mode D and move between the D and D chords. So I'm going to give you a little example of this. 3-4-5. So what you're doing, you're still using those passing tones and neighbor notes. But you might find that one of those neighbor notes sounds really pretty and you'd like to repeat it on strong beat of that measure. So you're going to need to play the other chord with that. So, we have our B, B, F, or B to the F, and B. But if I want to come back, focus on the E, then I would find we talked about before, but when I saw that I wanted to land on either C, E, or G, I would then switch my left-hand chord to the C chord. So that's a really nice one that you can play around with. Another one is to change our whole focus here and move still in the naturals, keeping your naturals. We're going to move up to the Mixolydian, so we'd be up on a G. Our Mixolydian, and our chord tones would be D, D, and D. And again, you can play around with those chord tones and just move down between the D and the F and the G. So I'll play a little bit of this.
Mm-hmm.
actually, I didn't quite make it. I thought I was going to play one note, and I ended up playing the wrong chord in the left hand. But even still, it doesn't sound, most of the time, it doesn't really sound that terrible. So when you're playing around with modes, it's okay if you don't always land the target note with that chord tone in the left in your bass. And it's often sounds kind of nice when you accidentally make mistakes. So let's take a couple minutes and play around with moving between chords, either Dorian on D going down to a C, or trying out Mixolydian for a little bit. G and D.
And Laura, we're at 2 minutes. Actually, 1 minute now.
Okay. So I guess maybe you can try that afterwards. That's an idea for you to play around with. So if there are any other last questions?
No question, but I just want to thank you. This has been great.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. I really love Ray Poole's video. It was such a great video to get me started improvising his way of thinking of chord tone and then building off of that and starting to add other films. So I've really had a lot of fun putting this together.